So the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which we have started a couple of few weeks back, talks about two terms, Tyaga and Sannyas. And Arjuna asks, so in reply to Arjuna's question, the Lord, the teacher, Krishna himself, explains the meaning of Tyaga and Sannyasa. Tyaga is the giving up of the fruit of action, working unselfishly, without I and my, working for the benefit of all and doing my duty irrespective of what the result comes, because that is not in my hand, that is in the hand of the Lord or in other factors, but I perform my duty without thinking about the fruit, and that is Tyaga. And Sannyasa is an evolution where slowly not only I do my duty, but then I even give up the idea of doership. I am not doing it, the Lord alone is working. Through me, I am his instrument, I am his humble servant, and whatever is happening is his glory, his. So that is how one can progress in one's spiritual journey from becoming a Tyagi to a Sannyasi. And then Sri Krishna continues in the third and fourth verse saying that some people believe that all actions should be given up because actions create more selfishness, more vasanas, more tendencies. And so one should just retire to the forest, meditate and purify and evolve. But he says, Krishna says, for the majority of us, we are not fit for that path of sannyas. So for us, we must do three kinds of activities, yajna, dana and tapa. Yajna is working for the benefit of all, doing activities without any selfishness and working with others. Ability to work others for the benefit of society. That is yajna. Dana is charity, giving to a worthy individual or to a worthy organization should be done. And tapa is self-control, where I give up my own comforts for my evolution. So all these three activities purify the mind. When I work for the benefit of society, when I do charity, or when I improve myself for my spiritual growth, pavanani manishinam. So these activities purify the mind and should not be given up. And then Krishna tells us about three types of tyaga. As we know, the entire Bhagavad Gita in various places talks about the gunas or the qualities. And all of us work under the influence of three gunas or qualities. One is tamas. Tamas is laziness, indolence, don't care. Second is rajas. Rajas is passion, action, aggression. And the third one is sattva, which is purity and knowledge. So here Sri Krishna says, tyaga or giving up can be also of three types. Last week we had heard about the tamasic tyaga. Tamasic is the lowest type, where an individual gives up mohat, from delusion. The example we had talked about last week is a young man gets jilted in love. His girlfriend doesn't want to see him anymore. So he develops this detachment and says, I'm going to go become a priest, go join the priesthood. Now he does not have the inner detachment, inner vairagya, but out of a fit of temporary delusion, he does it. And such a person will be miserable. He'll be very unhappy. So that is called tamasic tyaga, giving up without understanding, without the right knowledge. Today we'll talk about rajasic tyaga and sattvic. Rajasic is passion and sattvic is pure. So verse number 8. Dukham it yeva yat karma. Kaya klesha bhayatya jet. Sakritva rajasam tyagam. Naiva tyaga phalam labhet. So he says, yat karma, activities which are painful, dukham. It is a painful activity and that's why I give it up. Because something is painful. Or kaya klesh. Kaya klesh means? It is painful for the body. It is either gives me sorrow or it is painful for the body, or out of fear. afraid. I am afraid to do it, so I give up the activity. I do not give up with any pure motive. Why? Because this work is too painful. It's too difficult. That's why I give it up. So such giving up, sakritva, such activity is called rajasam tyagam. It is called rajasik tyaga. Na eva tyaga phalam labet. And such a person does not get the benefit of tyaga. Because as we will be discussing in more detail, when you give up something, if you give it up with the right attitude, it should help your mind to evolve. Okay, I have sacrificed for somebody, or I have sacrificed for a cause, or I have done something for someone. And that should result in purity of the mind, result in upliftment of my thinking, result in my evolution. But Krishna says a person who gives up because of these reasons, because it is painful or because it causes discomfort to the body, or if I'm afraid to do it, then such tyaga does not give you the benefit. So let us talk a little bit about what do we mean by rajasic tyaga. We see that often at work, you know, people go to work, but it's so painful. I hate Mondays. You know, that's a standard argument. I mean, you are there to work, so you work. What is the difference between Monday and Thursday and Friday? Every day I am working, and if I am working for the benefit of others, even whatever job I am doing, whether a professor or a doctor or an engineer or pastor, whatever job I am doing, if I am doing it for the benefit of mankind, it doesn't matter whether it's Monday or Sunday or any other day, whether it's the first of the month or the 30th. But a person who says, work is too difficult, I have to commute so long, especially in LA, you know, I have to drive an hour and a half, and then I have to work, I want to give up this work. And so people give up work because it is too painful, it is too difficult, or they are afraid, you know, like Arjuna was afraid. He says, because if I indulge in this battle, people will say, you know, he fought this battle, why? Because of a selfish reason, because he wanted land, because he wanted, you know, success or personal name or fame. So anything given up because the work is painful or I'm afraid to work is called rajasic tyaga. Talking about painful, this man, his company was on a deadline and they were working long hours every day and he was exhausted. So he decided, tomorrow I'm going to leave half a day early. So in the morning he tells his boss, sir, you know, my grandmother passed away. And today is the funeral, so is it okay if I go half a day early? And, you know, boss says, I'm sorry to hear about your grandmother. Okay, you can leave at 12 o'clock, just work half a day. You can attend her funeral. So he goes to the funeral. His grandmother was not dead, of course, but he took the day off and went fishing. And next morning he comes to work and his boss says, do you believe in reincarnation? You know, this was in the States. He says, yes, I'm a Hindu. I believe in reincarnation. Boss says, very good. Because soon after you left, your grandmother called. So that is called rajasik tyaga. Or we have all gone through taxes, you know, it's April 16th. So we just finished our taxes. And what most people do, I hate to do my taxes. So what they will do, they will keep on postponing. April, you know, March, then April 1st, then April 13th, then April 14th. They'll say, okay, today I'm going to. Then they're running around trying to find the papers and, you know, where is this document? Where is my W-2? Okay, can't finish it. So then they postpone to August. Same thing. August, do you start early? No, again, August 14th. Then October. So that postponing something or not doing it because I do not enjoy doing it is called rajasik tyaga. Another example of rajasic tyaga is like some people give up smoking or give up drinking. Not because they want to, but their lungs are so bad. Every breath he takes is labor. So the doctor says, I told you 10 years ago to quit smoking. You didn't quit then. Now you're saying, oh doctor, I want to quit. Not that even then if he quits is good. But quitting, why? Because I can't breathe. You know, instead of quitting out of, or what some people do, they give up smoking. But then they take up chewing tobacco. you know, now they are chewing tobacco, or they are doing e-cigarettes, or instead of smoking, they start overeating, you know. So giving up one habit for another is not tyaga, is not giving up. What you have to do is give up where you are in control. That's why they say be in control. I decide when I give up. But some people give up smoking and then they see others smoking. Oh, I wish I could smoke, you know, even one puff. So when physically you have given up, but your mind is still holding on to the old habits, that is called rajasic tyaga. Such a person, Sri Krishna says, mithyachara sa uchyate. Outwardly, he has given up. You know, like he'll say, I don't eat sweets. But inside, every time he sees something sweet, if his mind is, you know, getting attached to that. So giving up should be conscious giving up, where I am in control. I decide what I should do and what I should not do. But people who use others, take others from others and not give anything to them in return, Krishna calls them thieves. What we do is that instead of giving to others, our attitude is let me take, let me get the best maximum benefit I can from somebody else. It's like you employ somebody, he's an employee. Instead of giving him a fair wage, you make him work extra, you make him work more hours, pay him less than what he deserves. So here, instead of sacrificing, you are taking advantage of his situation, advantage of his sacrifice. So that is called thief. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, he says, Stena eva sa, one who takes from society, it could be from an individual or it could be from society, where I earn so much, I earn excessively from society, but I don't give back enough. I don't do enough charity. As we said, yajna, you don't do enough yajna, charity or dana. You don't work for the benefit of others. Whatever I collect is for me and me alone. And such a person is called a thief. In fact, in Bombay and Calcutta, there is a place called Chor Bazaar. I don't know if you have heard about that. It's a very interesting place, Thieves Bazaar, where suppose you have lost a watch, it's been stolen. You go there 2 days later, you will find it there. You know, you walk around and one of the store owners will have it. And you can buy it back from him at half the cost. You say, oh, this is my watch. What do you mean, your watch? I bought it from, you know, he'll obviously deny it. And then you buy it back. He'll say, look, the watch is worth, you know, 500 rupees. I'll let you have it for 200. You know it is your. So that is called a Chor Bazaar. So a person who takes from society, does not give back, is running his own personal Chor Bazaar, where I'm taking, I'm collecting, I'm getting for my own benefit and not giving to others back. So that's what this whole chapter talks us about, the first few verses, about tyaga, about sacrifice, about giving up. Sacrifice is not only a ritual sacrifice that we do in the fire, but sacrificing your ego, sacrificing your own comfort for the benefit of others. Other thing people do is they give up physically, but they do not give up mentally, as we had talked about cigarettes or about sweets. Example is like I gave somebody a gift, right? I gave him a shirt for his birthday. Now 2 or 3 days later, I still haven't seen him wear it. So what happened? You know, I gave you that shirt. What happened? Oh, I gave it to my brother. Oh my God, we get so depressed. I gave him the shirt and he gave it to his brother. Or no, I went to the mall, I got credit for it and bought this shirt, which I like. You know, our feelings get hurt. Once you have given it, then it is his to do. Why do you want to hold on to that? It is my shirt, I gave it, and I am unhappy because he's not. No, you did your best, you chose what is. Now what he does with it is his. And so a gift should be given at the right time to the right individual. But once you have given, then worrying about what that person is doing is again not rajasic. It is still a rajasic tyaga because you still have ownership over what you have given. So giving up should be not only physical, but should be mental. There's a very interesting story. It's a little long story about this, about tyaga, which I had heard from one of the Swamiji's in his commentary. So he says that there was this sadhu, this monk and his disciple, a young man and an older monk, and they were walking along a path, and they were going from one village to another, as they do, you know, talking to people and, you know, all that. So along the way, they were passing a river, and they heard a crying, "Help, help, I'm drowning." So they said, "Who's that?" So they go to the river, and there is this girl who has fallen in the river, and she's drowning, a young, beautiful girl, about 18 or 20 years old. And so they're wondering what to do, but the young man immediately takes off his, you know, clothes, only has, you know, and jumps in the river, picks her up, and brings her out, and she's not breathing because she has swallowed a lot of water. So he does CPR and mouth to mouth and revives her, and she gets well. And as she's, you know, coughing and spitting up the water, other villagers all gather around. So he gives them, you know, "Okay, take care of her. She's now better." And they move on. And so they keep walking, and the old man doesn't say anything. That evening they reach another village, and there they have dinner, you know, they're hosted by some family. And so they're lying down to sleep. And the old man says, "That was not right." "What was not right?" The young man said, "What you did was not right." He said, "What? I just had dinner and I'm lying down to sleep. What's wrong about that?" "No, no, at the pond. Remember at the river?" He says, "Yes." "Remember you picked up that girl?" He says, "Yes." He says, "We are sannyasis. We are renunciates. We are monks. And you picked up this girl, and I don't know where all you touched her. And then you brought her to the shore, and then you put your mouth on her mouth." He says, "Well, that was CPR." He says, "Yeah, but that is wrong. As a sannyasi, we shouldn't do that because we are not supposed to contact women. We are not supposed to." So he says, of course, he respectfully says, "Maharaj, I left her there. You are still carrying her." You know, I left her long time ago. You know, I was not even when I was lifting her, I had no impure thoughts in my mind. When I was reviving her, my thought was just how to get her well. But what kind of thoughts you had, what were you thinking of? I cannot be responsible. So the point is that a lot of times we find that people who take sannyas, people who take renunciation, if their understanding is not clear, why am I giving up? And it happens in all faiths, whether it's in the priesthood or whether it's in the Muslim or in the Hindu. When people renounce the world for wrong reasons, as I said last, you know, as we said about somebody gives up because he did not get what he wanted. So he, you know, he's out of delusion, he's giving up. Or here the person is giving up because of, it is painful. It is so hard to go out and work and earn a living, and life is so tough, and there is so much competition. It'll be easier to become a sannyasi, easier to become a monk or a priest. You know why? Then I can just live in the monastery, live in the church, and society will take care of me. And I don't have to do much, just, you know, meditate maybe a little bit, study a little bit, work. Majority of the people who take renunciation are not like that. The majority of the people are like Buddha and like Shankaracharya and like Saint Francis, who are Mother Teresa, who give up their home and their family and their wealth and livelihood and everything. Why? For their own growth, spiritual growth, and for the upliftment of society. But in every group, there are a few people who give up not because of true renunciation, not because of true withdrawal, but for the wrong reasons. As I said, another reason nowadays we find a lot of people doing is they become teachers. You know, having studied some few, you know, Upanishads, some Vedas, Gita, then they put on these orange clothes and they go around giving talks. And we find soon they accumulate thousands of followers. Now, most of them are good, most of them are genuine, but some of them may be doing it just to earn a livelihood. It's a comfortable way. You get on the mic, give talks, and then people come and bow down to you and touch your feet and give you money. So the motive is very important. What a person does, from that you cannot judge. And as I said, a majority of the people who are doing these activities are very honest, very pure, and we bow down to them because it is because of them, you know, that people are benefiting, so many people are benefiting. So what is the motive of a person doing this tyaga is more important than what the action. Like we have talked before, you know, the same action done with two different motives when have different results. Like, as I've said before, person cutting somebody's stomach. It could be a pure action or could be impure. One could be he's cutting to steal money from him, kill him. Another one is he's cutting his stomach to save his life, to do surgery. So the motive is very important, and giving up the action because it is painful is not good. And we find that also in community service. You know, people will join a community organization very enthusiastically, start work, tell me what I have to do. They will come, and morning to evening they are working hard, and then after a week or two they think, what is the use, you know, of working so hard? What am I getting in return? I went there, I spent the whole day, and they didn't even give me a cup of tea. So Swami Chinmayananda says, so you went and worked 8 hours for a cup of tea? Is that all your value of your work for yourself? You work because it is the right thing to do, not because what you can get. Or we find, you know, sometimes even in Bal Vihar, we find people who say, I have been teaching for 2, 3, 4 years now, I'm burnt out. I want to take a year off. I am tired of teaching. The Swamijis that we see, they have been teaching from last 20 years, 25 years, every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They never say they are burnt out, they are tired. If you are truly inspired from within, if your work is an inspiration, whether it's social work, whether it's community work, whether it's teaching, whether it's even sweeping the floor, whether it is cleaning the city, it does not matter. It's not the work that you do. It is the motive with which you do. It is the attitude that's very important. And if you are truly inspired by the work, if you're truly inspired, then every year your enthusiasm should go double. 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. You should get more and more enthusiasm, get more and more joy. Why? Because I'm doing the Lord's work. It's not my work. Whatever I am doing, as I said, doesn't matter. You might be, you know, cleaning the gutters of the street. But if my job is for the Lord, if I'm doing it with that kind of enthusiasm, dedicating it to the Lord, then it doesn't matter what work I do. Each year my enthusiasm should increase. Each day I should look forward to the work. And similarly, even when whatever job I am doing, you know, whatever profession I am, I should go there that the person coming in front of me is the Lord himself. And I'm serving the Lord. Whoever that person I'm teaching or I'm serving or I'm working with that attitude, then the job can never become tiring. You can never hate Mondays. You look forward to Mondays. Oh, I rested for 2 days. I didn't do anything. Now, today onward, I can go and serve the world. I can make the world a better place. So when that kind of an attitude is there, that is true work. But a person who gives up work, because as I said, it is either painful or it is causing discomfort to the body, or he is afraid of the results, then such a tyaga is called rajasic tyaga. And such a tyag will never result in purifying the mind. Because unless your mind accepts that this is the right thing to do, and if you keep on regretting, you know, why did I do it, or why shouldn't I have done that, then that person's mind will not purify, because mental purity is ultimately what is required. Because as we can see from this chart, we have a body, mind and intellect. And with the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. And with the intellect, I think the thoughts. And then V stands for vasanas. Vasanas are our tendencies, our habits, our predispositions. So activities that are done selfishly increase the vasanas, increase my selfishness. And the more the vasanas, the more the selfishness. And within each one of us, there is Om, which is Lord's presence. You know, God is there in every one of us as life. So why am I not able to perceive his presence? Because of my vasanas, because of my tendencies. So the more selfish activities we do, the more the vasana layer gets thicker, the further away we get from God. God, even though he is within us, but we are not able to perceive him because of too many vasanas. And then the next verse will tell us how to work in a sattvic way so we reduce our vasanas, reduce our selfishness and come closer to God. So this in brief is Rajasic Tyaga. Any comments, any questions?
And then the way that you know that, you know, that particular job in your lifetime is done, sometimes it's an inner feeling that
right.
It's time to move on and do something different.
Yeah, no, that's a very good, that's why I said it is the motive. Why are you giving up? Are you giving up for your evolution? That I have been doing this community service, but now I have a bigger project or something better to do with my life. Or are you quitting because it's too painful? You know, why do I want to? I'm not getting anything in return. So it's the mental attitude, but that's a very good point. Yeah, if I give up something for higher growth, that is like a flower gives itself up to become a fruit. Now, there the flower is giving up itself so that I may become a fruit. And then the fruit gives itself up, the seed, to become another tree. So there the giving up is evolutionary. That is more sattvic. But giving up because I do not want to help others, that is rajasic. Yeah. But no, everything is ultimately comes down to your motive. What is your motive? And that's why they say only God knows your motive. See, we don't know when somebody is giving up, what is his intention. He may say something, but may mean something else. So one has to be very clear about why am I. And I think that's an excellent point. Thank you. Right.
And I think that's the sort of person you're talking about. And she's talking about a very different kind of a phenomenon.
Yes. Yeah, where they become unproductive citizens.
They become unproductive. And much too early. There's a time to retire. But
right. And even after you retire, if you're physically and mentally able, you should take up some, you know, volunteer work, maybe in a library or a hospital or school or some areas. Because one has to give back. The whole purpose of this birth is we only have two reasons to take birth. One is to give back to society, and second is to realize the truth, to evolve. There are only two purposes for human birth, service and self-unfoldment. There is no other reason. Everything else is secondary. Earning, having a family, having children, house. All that is necessary, but that's not our main purpose. We are born for two things. One is serve and one is evolve. And if you are not doing those, you're like a vegetable, like a tree. You know, you're just taking from. Again, a tree also gives a lot to society, but you're just taking without giving.
Or even for our past deeds which you have done.
Yes, that's a good question. Birth is because we have unfulfilled vasanas.
Yeah.
See, I have unfulfilled desires for which I have taken birth. And also there are some karmas I have done selfishly, which I have to bear the results. Okay, they could be good or bad, but they were done with I and my. But when work is done unselfishly in this life, then slowly, slowly what happens is you are reducing your vasanas. Because vasanas is what I and my, you know, selfishness, and that promotes it. So as you do your work in this life, with the idea that I'm doing it as a service to others, I'm working for the benefit of others, the more you work with your body unselfishly, to that extent you reduce your vasanas. And to the extent your prarabdha, your activities are pure, it does not create more vasanas. It does not create more prarabdha. So you are exhausting your previous karmas, and at the same time, you are not creating new karmas. And not only that, but as I work unselfishly, my mind and intellect, as my vasanas are reduced, my mind and intellect become pure, are not agitated. Why am I agitated? Because I have a lot of desire. So as I reduce my vasanas, my mind and intellect becomes quiet. And such a person can then sit and meditate, contemplate, and then reach the highest. So we took birth because of unfulfilled vasanas and because of unfructified karmas. You know, the karmas fructify at certain time. So the whole idea is to remove the prarabdha karma. That is. this prarabdha we have to do, but at least I should not accumulate new karmas for future. For in this life, whatever karmas I have done in the past, I have to undergo, but I should not create new tendency so that I get out of this cycle of birth and death. Okay, we'll end with the closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhagavate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Yonam Hari Om.